Well, we are joined now in the Hong Kong studio with Michael Bosser-Kyu. He is global affairs analyst. He joins us to discuss China's growing sphere of global influence and investment and where it's looking to expand that, both in general and additionally as a result of those ongoing trade tensions with the U.S. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. I want to start out with something that I was surprised to see this week. I think it was Citigroup posting a report, or actually, no, Standard Chartered, talking about China's investment in various African nations. China now responsible for 75% of Djibouti's external debt. That is stunning. Is Chinese debt diplomacy going to be the new norm?
Good to be with you. Well, speaking of Djibouti, remember also that that's very strategic for them. It's the first overseas base for China in the world. And, you know, one can't help but link what China is doing economically with what it's doing politically and diplomatically. Mm. It needs more military bases around the world, including, for example, in Pakistan, where it has a lot of investment. But also, you know, a lot of the countries where China is investing are not exactly the most stable. So having a military presence there also could, if need be, help evacuate Chinese nationals and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, the investment increase in Africa, no matter which statistic you look at, is eye-popping. For example, Oxford Analytica sent me stats. Total trade with Africa has gone 20-fold from 2000 to 2014. FDI, stock, value of contracts, all that is up.
One of the problems is if you look at it short-term versus long-term, long-term this could be a positive for China. So if it looks at its external position, that's fine. But in the short term, a lot of these loans, these countries are having difficulty with payback, and that could be hurting China, particularly now when it's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, ask the Sri Lankans, you know, about the port. You know, right now, as we speak, there's that big China conference going on in Kuala Lumpur. A lot of talk about China's intentions. But, you know, there is a negative and a positive side to everything. And it's something like half of Asia's infrastructure requirements right now are funded by China. And as you know, they do things on very different terms than, say, the IMF would. But on the other hand, ask Prime Minister Mahathir, who's been resurrected politically, is that a lot of these projects have very questionable viability, and that's why he canceled two or three very, very big ones, because of the debt trap, but also because that they aren't necessarily needed and China's pushing them onto these countries.
So, Michael, there seems to be a consensus developing now that because of Trump's domestic focus, his, let's say, modern version of mercantilism, that this is going to leave a hole in the Asia region that China is going to step in to fill. I wonder, how worried should China be about the trade tensions and the possibility that as multinationals retreat from China, other places in Asia actually step up their servicing of supply chains, and that the opportunity for China isn't as big as some people think it is?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think with Mr. Trump, we've been saying that, you know, he'll tweet something or say something, but it doesn't really happen in the end. I mean, for him, the number one thing, of course, appealing to the base, getting them riled up, especially before the midterms. So I think a lot of that has to do with that particular stance. The Pence speech was shocking. And by the way, I couldn't help but notice that he raised persecution of religious and ethnic minorities. Very, very big thing for him. But, you know, the other thing we have to keep in mind here is that some of Chinese investments have been going into the in places like Myanmar, Bangladesh, where the Americans don't have that much engagement anymore. For example, I just returned from Bangladesh, from the region, and China is absolutely huge there right now with infrastructure projects. But Myanmar, next door, they're investing heavily in oil and gas reserves in Rakhine State, where the Rohingya were expelled from, and also in industrial zones. So they are actually, you talk about a void, they're going into places that are politically very, very sensitive, but they've not been known to pay much attention to human rights. And let me add one more thing that I found out in Bangladesh. The Bangladeshis have just completed an island in the Bay of Bengal that will accommodate 100,000 forcibly relocated Rohingya. The Chinese built that for them.
I'm really interested in soft power. If you go around Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, the British Empire, you know, is here and has been here for such a long time, and it's really strong. And the United States obviously has dealt in soft power for decades and decades after the Second World War. China's trying to get into that game, but it's really been a little bit more, I don't know what you call it, hard power, but it's not exactly soft power. When you go to these conferences, are people welcoming the investment and the Chinese coming in, or are they, like they are in Vietnam, nervous about it?
I think on the whole, they're welcoming it. I mean, the needs, as I said, in Asia are very, very big in the ASEAN region. But on the other hand, I think there's a realization that you have to be very, very careful. I came up with a little proverb on the way here, actually. Better to have the wild tiger on the leash than having it roam freely in the jungle. So what I mean by that is that, you know, have this investment, this influence come in, but be very careful. Now, I interviewed Lee Kuan Yew 4 times when he was still around, and he used to boast to me that, you know, they had very special links with China, these historic and ethnic links. But even Singapore was bitten very badly. Remember the special economic zones that Singapore set up? Mm. Well, what did the Chinese do? They set up competing zones next door. So you have to be very, very careful. Make sure all of the rules are very carefully negotiated, too.
Yeah, I want to press you on this point, Michael, because I think it's important. But what exactly is China hoping to get from these various investments? Yes, you have soft power influence, but on the other hand, you might expect some tangible economic benefits. How are they measuring the success of these projects? Is it, for instance, increased trade with Belt and Road countries?
Well, growth is slowing in China in various ways, and you know, Chinese companies need new opportunities overseas. The other thing, of course, very, very important for China is security of its energy supply. So you probably know that something like 80% of their gas and oil comes through the Straits of Malacca, pirate infested, and also it could be vulnerable to closure if the U.S. asserts itself. So that is why we're seeing more interest in India, Pakistan, Myanmar, where new pipelines can be created, and that will help secure their energy supplies. But again, for some countries that are not paying much attention to how these deals are brokered, it could come at a very, very high price. And by the way, it should be mentioned recently that the EU has introduced new screening mechanisms to look at Chinese investment. Why? Because they're investing a lot in high-tech, robotics firms, that sort of thing. So that is kicking in this year. It goes to show you that even the EU is very concerned.
Okay, final question. Yeah. South Asia is not very economically integrated. Now China is getting in there. Can China help with that integration?
Yeah, I think so. For example, China is really pushing an integrated power grid in certain regions of Asia that, you know, these countries that have never been interconnected by energy are going to be, but also transportation infrastructure, that sort of thing. So they're very, very good at it. In fact, I, for the first time, took that bullet train from Guangzhou to here. Impressive. So if they can put more of those in Asia, it's going to really prop things up, I think.